Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
No!
Is the Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump. Boom!
With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
This microphone put up a little less fight than the one last night.
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Oh,
Mr. Dot-Commer
on WEEI.com.
Off Day Podcast coming to you a little early this week because we wanted to give you the maximum time to listen to the podcast. We're doing this on Tuesday, not our usual Wednesday or Thursday because we want, you know, Thanksgiving. With your families, you're probably not listening to podcasts. So we should start with the weekend. An eventful weekend for the Patriots, even though they didn't play. They're now in first place in the AFC East and the number three seed in the conference.
And within striking distance this Sunday of the number one seed in the conference, which I find sort of unbelievable in a sense. Like a
month ago, you were saying they could be in line for a number 10 draft pick.
Right, and now you're saying in a league where there's now only one bye, they could be the team getting the single bye. It's amazing. It can also go the other way in the next month, so we can get into that later. But yeah, no, it's perfect for them. Longest winning streak in the league, five games in a row. They take care of their business, then sit back and, you know, Coach Belichick can go to Nantucket and look at seals on the beach with his dog and everything. And
Mac can watch Red Zone.
Mac can figure out what red zone, this red zone thing's pretty cool, which I don't really understand. Did they not have red zone at Alabama?
You think he just didn't speak?
I think he plays up the thing. I think he plays it up a little bit. The old, remember Jessica Simpson had the original reality show and everybody was like, she's such a moron, dumb blonde. And then
everyone did the same thing. And now look,
she plays it up and it made her $1 million or whatever. I think he's playing up kind of the goofy football first guy. I don't think it's as dramatic as he makes it out to be, but whatever. He got to sit back. They all get to sit back and they got to watch the Bills. I won't say the Bills choke, although they did get blown out and a guy had five.
What was it, 45-12 or something?
But at least, the Colts are a little like the Patriots. They're certain, right? They're coming together. I think they've won three in a row. They're now back in the playoff picture and who knows where they can go. The Tennessee loss. I mean, I know you're banged up, but you lose to the Texans. That's
at home.
Well, first of all, Tennessee has, they're 8-3. Two of their losses are the Jets and the Texans. Holy crap.
How do you look at that? You take that as they're better than their record says, or they stink?
Well,
they could stink.
I don't know. And certainly the injuries are catching up. We'll talk about that as we get into the game, but yeah, to just slide into first place. And I do enjoy the reactions of kind of around the country, this Patriot paranoia, they're back and all this freaking out, that guy in San Francisco.
That column or whatever that was.
I mean, he's just doing it for attention. He's just doing it.
Of course. And people around here are giving it to him. So everything's working out.
Of course. But it is kind of funny. You can make an argument, points allowed. I mean, point differential, different things. Patriots are playing as well as any team in football right now. Doesn't mean they're the best team in football. No. I differentiate those two. But for the here and now, over the last month, they're playing as well, taking care of their business, doing however you want to phrase it. Now, I will say, yeah, the Colts are coming on. The Chiefs, look out. The Chiefs aren't dead. They're coming on.
Which we've been saying all along. We didn't buy into the start for the Chiefs.
And to me, I said this to Mutt last night on our station, the Chiefs are a little bit like the Patriots for so long, where stumbles, bad loss. Oh, you lost at Cleveland. Oh, you got killed at Kansas. Oh, the Patriots are done. They're not good anymore. And then comes November, and then comes December, and their great quarterback and their great coach figure out whatever they need to do to win.
Starting to score 30-plus points a game again.
Right, and they're not allowed. The defense is better. Chris Jones is suddenly looking like Chris Jones again. So I just – the one thing, it's so funny that you know it's happening and you can't stop it from happening, for me, is looking – too closely at the NFL schedule games, you know, 2 week span, 3 weeks. Oh my God, this team stinks. This team's great. They played this, like, and not stepping back. And I think in the end, you really are better off almost trying to stick to your guns. Like, if whatever you thought of a team to start the year and their talent and their coaching and their overall makeup, unless injuries dramatically alter that, don't get caught up in their three game winning streak, three game losing streak. Because I think more often than not, when December rolls around and real football, as Brady tells us, rolls around, the teams you thought were going to be good are usually...
Well, just look at the division leaders. Titans, everybody thought they were going to probably win that division. I mean, the Bills and the Patriots could be flipped. That could change this week. And then the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Right.
They're all leading their divisions.
Right. It's sort of like you get caught up in the up and down of the week to week. It's you know what it's almost like is what I talk about when we do training camp, when you get all like, oh, this guy's great. He had two great days in a row. And we think of, oh, Maurice Harris is going to catch 80 passes from Brady. And like, well, no, he's not. So relax a little bit. Or the vice versa. Like, Julian Edelman had two bad days. He's done. He's never going to catch a pass again. He stinks. He's lost a
slate. It's like those 53-man roster projections. Some guy's on and then off. The next week he's on. Next week he's a lock. Next week he's cut. Like,
right. So The bigger picture view, and I mean, Coach Belichick talks about it all the time, like not getting caught up in just, you know, trying to do your job or that day. But it is crazy. It is crazy. They were 2-4. Well, 1-3, 2-4. You had Matthew Judon saying, you know, we better fix it quick or things could get ugly around here. And a month later, he's dancing at the podium because he's got 10.5 sacks or whatever and all this. It's an interesting story. I don't know where the story's going to go with Mac, because you still have to doubt Mac, and it's not personal.
I do. And it's not personal either.
No, he's a rookie quarterback. Like, for him, like, a lot of people now think the Patriots are a Super Bowl contender.
They're not.
Which, okay, you don't get your dander up. But whether they are or they aren't, if to win the Super Bowl or to go to, they're going to have to do something basically historic with Mac Jones.
They're going to have to do this. No rookie quarterback has ever made the Super Bowl.
Right. So, like, and they have to do it. If he were leading the Bucs, let's just say, and he had this great team around him and he just kind of had to be the steward of the ship, but they have meh weapons. They have a meh offense. Like, it is hard to fathom. And I do, even if you think, well, what they'll do is they'll run the ball, they'll play defense, they'll do what they're doing, you still need to make throws. There will be key throws. We had a little discussion about this last night. Like, even if you go back to Super Bowls, Rams, Patriots, Brady had to make the throw to Gronk to the goal line. Mm-hmm. Has to happen. If that doesn't happen, who knows how that game plays out. Jared Goff didn't make those throws, or Jimmy Garoppolo didn't make the throw that changes the game, his, like, history. So no matter what, and usually if you step back, AFC, NFC title game, same thing. Yep. Okay, you can just be along for the ride, but I'm going to need you to make a couple big throws in big spots. And Mac would have to do that, and he would have to be an unprecedented rookie quarterback.
Like, that's sort of like I wrote a column today. The defense can only take them so far. Like, right. Yes, they can have a successful regular season, or even against the teams they've played, but let's face it, they haven't played the Titans yet. They haven't played the Bills yet. Those are the two right now, the best teams in the AFC that we kind of think. Throw the Chiefs in there, but they haven't played them yet. So right. We'll see how the defense plays out against that team, where they maybe won't be holding them to single-digit points, and Mac's going to have to score close to 30. And can he do that yet? We haven't seen that yet against a good team and win the game.
Okay, so let's roll into the next month plus, including this Titans game. Because you're right, like, looking at the Titans, well, there's one side of it is it always works out for the Patriots. They have nobody. Their team is decimated with injuries. Julio's already out. AJ Brown's hurt now. Their third receiver, Marcus Johnson's hurt with a hamstring. Obviously, Derrick Henry is out. Adrian Peterson is out.
Adrian Peterson and Deontay Foreman.
So, like, but up until last week, they had scored, I think it was 24 points in every game since the season opener. Yep. So that includes some, now some of it's defense and different things, but
that includes games where they didn't have their star players.
Right. And if they get into the high 20s, that's a different game for Mac Jones and this offense, especially. We've talked about it, especially if it's front loaded, if they score 14 or 17 points early and Mac Jones is chasing, and how the Patriots decide to formulate an offense and can they get away from the running game and all that. And I have to think over the next 5 weeks, this four game stretch, that is their season in terms of how you think of them in a lot of ways. Now, I guess they could just go 2-2 and leave it and say, I don't know what to think anymore. Because they go 2-2 and they have six losses, so 11-6. Okay. But like, you have to think the Bills, the Colts, the Titans, at least one of those teams is going to put up points.
Yep.
I find it hard to believe the defense is going to hold all of those teams to, you know, 13 or fewer points or something like it.
Can almost guarantee it.
Right. I mean, Jonathan Taylor just had 5 touchdowns himself.
Right. Against
the Bills. And the Bills are supposed to be a good defense. They're supposed to be one of the best defenses.
Well, yeah, they're ranked number one.
Right, but
that says how good they are. They gave up 45 points, and they're still the number one ranked defense.
Right. Oh, yeah, their numbers have been really good. But even Buffalo can put up points. Now, their lack of consistency at the running back position is kind of really
– Did you see the writers up there questioning their toughness?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was I think Tim Graham, and then I thought another writer wrote a column after this week's game that, like, the Bills were supposed to be, like, this tough team, and they're not. Like, I didn't, like, read all the columns in depth, but it was almost like their writers were calling them soft.
Interesting.
Which is the anti-Patriots. Like,
yeah, the Patriots are not soft. I don't know how good they are, but one thing they're not is soft, and I think they will eat soft teams alive if they don't want to play that style. I mean, we saw that with the David Andrews mic'd up.
Mm-hmm.
Seen it, you know. Judon obviously brings a physicality every play. Yeah, that's interesting, because that's not good when you start to hear whispers, because then you wonder. Again, I haven't read the columns, but do they have any players that are kind of insinuating, telling them this, whispering, okay, like, that guy's soft, that guy's soft, whatever. But the point is, these offenses are going to score some points at some point over the next month, and it's going to be more on the offense in New England to match it, keep up, catch up, depending on how the games play out. And it's like Edelman, he said, you know, he wants to see Mac face adversity, and how it's, there could be some weather involved, whether it's in New England, in Buffalo, who knows how things play out. There's going to be some more challenges, but again, I'm not saying he can't do it, because Mac has answered every question from draft night through this week, right? Whether it's how he handles himself physically, mentally, how he's built a rapport with his teammates, everything. it's all come up positive for him. So in one sense, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt that whatever the next challenge is, he'll probably do okay with that too.
But like we just said, he hasn't faced the teams that he's going to be playing this next month or so. We'll see how it goes. Do you think if they need to score 30 points against the Bills to win, could they do it?
My gut tells me no.
Yep.
Not by themselves. If they get, you know,
a defensive score,
or at least a, you know, a pick for a short field, a punt return that sets up another short field, turn those into 14. And now you're saying they kind of only have to score 14 to 17 on their own. Maybe I think it would take that. If they're going to get in the 30s against a good team, it'll have to be complimentary football. I don't think it'll just be,
mm-hmm,
you know, four drives of 90 plus yards.
Yeah, that's on it.
I mean, they did it. So,
but it was like
the Browns are supposed to be a good defense.
Do you think people are like making too much of that Browns game and the Falcons game?
Probably. But the Browns are a good defense. They have Myles Garrett. They have talent in the back end.
I agree with that, but like, I think the Browns quit.
Probably.
Like, I think that you won, you dominated the game, but it wasn't 45 to, or whatever it was, something 40 something to 7.
Right. No, I would agree with that, because the Browns are always, until they shake off the label of like talented team that doesn't put it all together, that doesn't have the heart of a champion, whatever you want to critique them for, like until they get rid of that, that's who they are. Mm-hmm. And that probably showed up some in that game. And especially you lose your quarterback, that yeah. is a blow to sort of the motivations or attitude. But yeah, I mean, just to get back to the original question, do I think, I mean, even against Tennessee, you know, do I think they can score 30 plus if they need to?
The problem against Tennessee is I can't see Tennessee scoring points of what they have right now.
No, I think you can win this game in the teens. Tennessee 13, you get 14 to 17 or whatever. That may be all you need. Now, it's going to be an interesting game, because I know we talk about coaches a lot, but the Vrabel-Belichick thing over the last, whatever it's been, 4 or 5 years, and Vrabel's been the winner, the better coach, the guy that's gotten the best.
No, as a head coach, I didn't go back and look at it as the assistant.
No, but they've had good there was that Houston game where they really gave him trouble with moving all the defensive linemen around and the interior pass rush. And I think Vrabel's a good coach, and I think it's not just because he knows Bill. That probably helps.
Yep.
But I think he coaches out of balls, not fear, which I think some coaches don't do. He goes for it. I mean, that comment when they threw to Mariota after they threw to Brady, you know, I just wanted to show my quarterback could do it better. Like that attitude, that like putting your balls on the table against Bill, I think that matters. And I think it resonates with your team. You know, we talk a lot about these Sean McVays and who's the guy in LA now? Like, oh, I'm not even, or Matt Rhule. Brendan Daly and Staley.
Staley. Brendan Daly is in Kansas City, defensive line.
Yeah, he used to be a Patriots coach. But Matt Rhule, I'm not even qualified to speak about Coach Belichick. I think that resonates with your team. I
would agree. Like you're 32-2. You're up right. There.
Well, should we just not compete, Coach? If you're not on the same level as him, we might as well just call it. Right. And
let's whereas I shake his hand and say, "Good game, good win. See you next."
Because no one's on Bill's level. No one's accomplished what Bill has accomplished. But Vrabel swaggers out there. He'll do his little pregame, you know, squat.
He comes up to Gillette Stadium and does push-ups from the sideline. Yeah.
Like, I know I'm a Vrabel fan, and that's probably seeps into the way I view it. But I also think his team takes over his mentality of confidence, cockiness, brashness. We're playing to win. We're not trying to avoid something. No, we're going to go for it. We're going to punch him in the mouth. We're going to have trick plays. We're going to do what we need to do. And I think that has value to it. So I think that's a really interesting aspect of this game.
Like, that's kind of how I look at it. Like, their team's going to embody Mike Vrabel. They're coming off a terrible loss. Like, the spot's kind of bad for the Patriots. Like, the Titans are down. They need to build themselves back up. The Patriots are so high, they have to come back down. I just think this could be the game that the Patriots, all of a sudden, things don't click like they did before. And then we'll see how Mac overcomes adversity. We'll see if they trail. You know, if they get down 10-0 at home, how does he react? Because we haven't seen that.
Right. And now, like we said, this one's a little different, because if I'm the Patriots down 10-0 in this one, I'm still assuming the other team isn't going to keep rolling. So sure. I don't know that you have to start chasing points, run your offense, to, you know, stick to your game plan, whatever you thought you were going to be able
to do. We've seen Josh sometimes panic.
Yes, I think that is probably, yes, that is accurate. We have seen Josh seemingly panic or get away from things too quickly.
Yep.
That could happen in the face of a challenging game. But I get back to the Titans are so banged up and so limited offensively. Tannehill's coming off a 4-pick game, which obviously
those don't happen regularly. So we can't plan for that.
Yeah. But maybe those happen when
you don't have your
no offensive weapons, and the guys you're throwing to are like usually the scout team, and now they're the first team.
Fair.
I mean, I don't even know some of their receivers. We did conference calls yesterday, and I asked Mike Pellegrino about some of them, and he's like throwing names out there, and I'm like looking at the depth chart to fill in first name. I've never heard of some of these guys, and they're not exactly the who's who of backups. I don't know.
Do you think this might not come up this week, but we've talked about it before, the lack of a number one offensive weapon will come back to hurt them?
Yeah, because that's what I put in line what we talked about earlier. That Mac has to make a play. He has to make a play to someone, like whether it's, you know, Rob Gronkowski or Julian Edelman. We've seen over the years, Brady made the play, but he had a reliable, or even some of the other guys that proved themselves.
Even like Amendola.
Yeah, Amendola, Chris Hogan, that AFC title game where he had like 180 yards and two touchdowns. Like, I'm not saying they can't step up. Like, Kendrick Bourne, to me, would be the Chris Hogan. It wouldn't stun me if he had a 150 and two touchdowns in a spot where you needed him to. And then we look at it differently and say, well, Bourne's done that for you. He's stepped up, but he hasn't. It also won't surprise me if Kendrick Bourne has drops a
third 10 over the middle.
Like, there's a post for 15 yards. That's Keith, you know, third down, that good ball. The seal comes out in him and he's like clapping his hands together with no ball in between him. So that's where it's the unproven nature. Now, maybe they are good enough. Maybe they're good enough to do what they want to do, which is play defense, split the load now between Harris and Stevenson. You don't even have that fear of what if Harris gets hurt? How are we going to? Nope. You probably feel as good or better about Stevenson and what he's able to do now. So there's plenty of positives to talk up about this team. Like, there's a reason they've won five in a row. There's a reason they're in first place. But you also have to acknowledge the uncertainty. And so what do you think their record will be in the next four games? This key stretch, 5 weeks, four games, bye week, the whole thing.
1-3.
1-3?
Yeah.
I can't call you Homer Hannibal anymore.
I don't know. I'm not buying into the Mac hype. Like, everybody's like, I didn't think he played that great against Atlanta. And I know, like, the game kind of wasn't out of hand. I didn't think I thought he looked more frustrated than he had at any point in the year in the second half. And I just think, like, those Titans teams and Buffalo teams will feast on that. Like, they have a good defense that can frustrate him. And he talks about the John McEnroe thing from Alabama. Like, I could just see him getting so frustrated for more than he ever has this year as a rookie, and it's spiraling and not turning out well.
I don't disagree, because was it after the pick? I don't know if it was after the pick or another third down later, where Brian Hoyer was almost like a parent dealing with a child having
relax, bud. Like, calm down. Yeah.
And you're right. If Brian Hoyer has to do that in that situation where you've controlled the game.
But the game is, you're up, whatever, 13-0, where the game
was over. It was over. If he has to do that there, well, what is it like down 13-0 and you make a mistake, or somebody else makes a mistake and you're flipping out and want to just erupt like McEnroe? And I do think that. And even Mac, when on our station with the MFers yesterday, when he was asked about that,
I'm still working on that.
And he kind of like laughed a little bit, like, yeah, I'm still working on it. Like, he knows it's still there. The Incredible Hulk is still inside of him, ready to burst out. He doesn't have full control of it.
Right.
Which I go back and forth. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't want to say it's a bad thing. And I also think it's something that he can learn from. He's still a rookie. He can learn how to manage this more as an NFL player. Like, he's probably going to handle things differently now in the NFL than he did at Alabama. So he's still navigating those waters. And so that's kind of why no rookie's ever gone to the Super Bowl. It's so hard. And you're learning on the fly, and those experiences will help you down the road.
And the one thing I don't know, though, is in the emotional evolution of an NFL starting quarterback, like Brady, I thought was more emotional later in his career, I think he got established, got cachet, and was willing to. I thought he was a little more reserved early in his career, probably because he's working his way up. He's not. But like Philip Rivers, Dan Marino, those guys were fiery most of their career, weren't afraid to sort of show up.
Like, I don't even know. So you probably don't know. Was Rivers like that as a rookie?
I mean, it was part of his thing coming out of college, fiery, definitely fiery. I don't know how it showed up through that 16-game span or whatever.
I can't imagine he was yelling at his offensive lineman as a rookie.
Right. Or like, I don't even know who it was, LaDainian Tomlinson or Antonio Gates or whoever back then. But that's my point is, Max may be trying to control it right now. Will he stop trying to control it in 4 years when he's, you know, got a $200 million contract in his back pocket? He's the man. He's
franchise quarterback at the Patriots. They're building around him. Yeah.
And again, Brady's been fine with it. Like, he's navigated it. He's as fiery as anybody, like, good and bad.
But it helps that he's the greatest of all time. He can do that.
Right. And it helps that he put a Super Bowl ring on his finger the first year he played. That brings him, you know, respect or whatever. That puts him on a certain pedestal. And then he gets another one 2 years later. And it's like, okay, this guy's a legit winner. We have to, you know, it's his way or the highway kind of thing. So, yeah, the whole Mac evolution emotionally, physically, because that's another thing. Like physically, the throws. What physical throws can he make?
I put it in the column too. Like it's a minor thing, but he's never played a season this long.
Right, and he says he doesn't care. Like he says, "Not never heard of the rookie wall. Like I'm not familiar." No, with it.
Like that could be sure. Like you train so hard this offseason, it's not going to matter. But I just think that you know, mentally, physically, it could catch up at some point. I don't know if that translates into a loss or you know a bad interception, but it has to show up at some point.
And mentally, I'm glad you brought that up. Mentally, for a guy who we think is pretty locked in most of the time, pretty focused. Well, his body's used to doing that for X number of weeks in college. Does it become stressful or wearing as it goes?
I also have to imagine too the mental stuff. I'm sure training camp was very, very stressful.
Oh God, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like just when the game starts. Like at Alabama, he knew the offense. It was kind of training camp. The summer was like, oh great, like let's get the chemistry down. Here, he was grinding probably more than he is now.
Right. So, yeah, you never know with that. And then again, the physical stuff, the Giardi stuff. Oh, you know, less than 15 yards were all his throws. Well, at some point, you might have to throw it more than 15 yards with some regularity, not just once or twice when it opens itself up. And does that become an issue? Not so much physically, just like there's more risk there. There's more like opportunity for mistakes. So I don't know.
Let me spin it. What's their record after these four games?
I think 2-2 is the most likely. I know it's boring. It's so boring to say, oh, they got four tough games. They'll win two, they'll lose two. Let me guess. They got two on the road and two at home. I think they're going to beat the Titans. As much as I don't think the Titans can win, it's a tough spot for the Titans on the road, no players. I'll take the Patriots in that one. My gut tells me they split with the Bills. So now that's 2-1. In my mind, that makes that Colts game the wild card game. Like, I don't really know what to make of that game because I don't really know what to make of the Colts. I had kind of in my like going back to the early season, I thought the Colts were overrated. I didn't put the Colts in a higher spot, you know, Wentz, the new guy, like the whole thing. And now, like, you see them. I'm sorry, you go to Buffalo and you blow out the Bills.
I think Frank Wright's one of the more underrated coaches in the game.
I agree. I think he's a really good coach. And if Carson Wentz, again, I don't even know who the play was against. That goal line interception safety didn't.
Yeah.
One of the more horrific plays I've ever seen in my life. And I have too many of those in my mind from him that I envision. One of those happening with Dante Hightower, Matt Judon, somebody being like, and them, the Patriots defense, the boogeymen doing their typical sort of laughing and living it up at the cost of some quack of an opposing quarterback. And I know Wentz, former MVP caliber quarterback, but that's the one sort of like Mayfield. I picked against Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield threw a pick early in that game that I think changed the entire outcome of that game. I think Carson Wentz does the same thing. So I think there's actually a chance that they go 3-1 in this stretch.
In my hypothetical, I have the Colts as their only win. I think they get swept by the Bills and lose this week.
Swept by the Bills.
Like, I can just see them. Like, I think it hurts the Patriots that the first game is at Buffalo. Like, I think that crowd's going to be unbelievable. That's another thing Mac hasn't had yet, a crowd that, you know, has to overcome in that.
He could hit in the back of the head with a sex toy.
He hasn't had that to deal with yet. Who knows? College, the SEC. Who knows what goes on?
Probably has.
But just the Bills could get so much confidence from that game if they win and like have a good performance that I could see it being hard for Mac and the Patriots to overcome a couple weeks later at home.
Yeah, but it's so interesting because I didn't know the stuff about the softness of the Bills, that kind of question. That's interesting. That's interesting coming into a matchup. A, it's the Patriots. They're back. Like, this is your nemesis, the division. Supposedly, you had taken the torch, and you're supposed to be the front runner for the next 5 to 7 years.
Tyler Dunn, respected Buff national guy, has his own website now. You know him, right?
Yep.
This is his tweet. The Buffalo Bills are a soft football team. Is this fixable? And then Tim Graham, this is his tweet. The Bills knew they needed to win a smash mouth matchup and showed up Sunday with cold sores.
Cold sores?
Cold sores.
But part of that to me is their running backs have not, like, they can't run the ball. And that's obviously running the ball and defense are two ways that teams, you know, we're tough, we're physical, blah, blah, blah. And if you can't run the ball and you become too Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs reliant, that's a problem. I can tell you as somebody who has, what's his name? Zach Cox. No, not Zach Cox.
Zach Moss. Zach You're really messing up these names today just by like one syllable.
Well, having my Yogi Berra day, Zach Cox, Nesson, very good job at Nesson. Zach Moss hasn't done anything. Like they can't get a consistent production out of the backfield. And that's, you know, part of a soft team or what, however you want to phrase it.
Yeah.
But if that creeps in, if they start to question that, I don't think you want to be going up against the Patriots.
No.
With that mentality or that doubt in your mind. That's the thing too, is from a Bills perspective, how did we get here? Like we won the division. We're supposed to be the team.
That's another point. Good point. The pressure, all the pressure on the Bills.
Yes. 100%. Like they're supposed to have taken the torch. They have the MV. They have the best quarterback in the division, right? Supposedly they have taken the torch. Like it's our
time. All the talking points be, oh, you thought you had the Patriots for a couple more years and you could, all you had was 1 year. Like you waste your window, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That'll be a big Monday night topic leading into that game. Like ESPN's Monday Night Football. Yeah.
Huge. And
I didn't think of that. It's a good point.
I don't know how great I feel about the Bills as that, the pressure team, the supposed front.
Like they were great as the underdog, Josh Allen proving everybody wrong. Like, yeah. And let's see how they handle this.
That's an interesting spot. Now, I also think it's an interesting spot for the Patriots. I asked Matt Slater about this last night in our weekly interview. You know, that idea you want to stay even keeled. Early in the year, they had to make sure they didn't get too down on themselves. They did a good job of that, have come out of that. Now, you have to make sure you stay humble, that you don't get too far ahead of yourself because everybody's calling them Super Bowl contenders and they 5 in a row. And he did say it can be challenging and they have something to prove. Like with people praising them, they have to prove that they can be who they are. And now I doubt that's an issue for them.
I didn't think the issue with the Thursday night trap game would be an issue with them. Same thing here. Like they're starting with their coach. They're not, it's not going to happen.
They aren't. And certainly not on defense. I don't see it. I mean, I guess you could question certain Kendrick Bourne. I would say he was too high on himself when they were 1-3. So I don't know that you want it to change. He is who he is. He brings a certain confidence, cockiness, energy to the field at all times. Other than that, I can't think of anybody that I'd say, oh my, like this guy can't handle success. It's going to go bad. I don't think they have a lot of those guys. So, but it is a different spot. It's the expected, what are they, 5-point favorites this week?
5 points.
Over a team with a better record.
The best. Or to the first place in the conference, yes.
Right. So the world thinks they're pretty good and the other team is banged up. Yeah. I think they'll be fine if they lose. I don't think it'll be because of that. If they lose, it'll probably be because Tannehill plays well, doesn't turn the ball over. Mike Vrabel has a good game plan. Defensively, they, you know, give Mac some problems. Maybe he turns the ball over. It won't be because, oh, they read their press clippings and Tuesday morning they were slacking instead of working. I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, but what's your – don't give a score. It's too early to give a score unless you have one.
I'll give a score. What do you know? If you don't give a score, you can't be right. So I'll throw it out there. Whatever. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm going to say 24-13 Patriots.
Ooh.
I think the Titans are toast until they get some of their guys back. I like Vrabel, but you can only do so much. At some point, you got to have people on the field making plays. I'm not a super Tannehill guy, and certainly I think he's an athletic game manager. When he has a good receiver and a good running back, he can be good. But when you say, hey, Ryan, we don't really have anybody. We're going to need you to carry the offense. I don't think he can carry the offense.
2017 Titans.
20-17. Homer, Hannibal, just jump ship. Now moving on to Nashville.
Brable's a good coach. He's going to get this team fired up. I'm not saying like the Patriots are going to look ahead and they're like I just think this is the time for them to come back down to earth. Like, I think Mac, I'm not saying like he's going to have five picks, but I could see a pick six. I could see a fumble, a strip sack. Like, I think there could be a Mac Jones play that changes this game. And that's why I'm picking the Titans, because they're offensively, they got nothing.
So the Titans don't win, Mac Jones loses.
Helps them, yeah. Like, I guess not four picks that the entire game is Mac Jones, but like a game-changing strip sack or a game-changing pick.
So Mac to reality.
Yeah.
Rookie QB struggles and loss to Titans. That's my headline.
Yeah, your headline could be Mac to reality.
One thing we didn't touch on that I wanted to touch on quick. We have discussed it, the offensive line, the 6-for-5. Yesterday, Carmen Brasillo, in his two-on-one interview with Andy Hart of WEEI.com and Evan Lazar of wherever Evan Lazar works.
CLNS.
Evan was asking him about Isaiah Wynn and like positives, and I forgot. And Carmen goes, yeah, funny. A week ago, I was, yeah, asked it. Forget it. I think he was insinuating like, well, a week ago I was being asked how much Wynn stinks or like he's not good or like negative questions about Wynn. And he was laughing like, now there's some positive questions about Wynn one game later. And like, he almost seemed defensive of Wynn. Like, cause we all know from the outside, people question Wynn, not a good first round pick. Should he be a guard? And cause I even asked him a question about the cut block on Garrett and sort of how hard those are and chat, blah, blah. He seems very defensive of Wynn. Like, I think they think Wynn is a good, really good left tackle or a good left tackle. I don't, you know how we're talking about, oh, you know, oh, they got $10 million next year. And I think they're okay
they're
with
okay.
it. I think he thinks like they think he's a $10 million left tackle, not a $20 million left tackle or $18 million left tackle, but a $10 million left tackle. Like, I think they probably think he's close to Matt Light. Matt Light was a good, not great left tackle, like team Hall of Famer, but would struggle at times with Jason Taylor and different guys. I think they think Wynn is sort of in that category, like good enough to win with. and, you know, you might have to help him some with like an elite guy, but other than that, he's fine. He also was very praiseful of Ted Karras, no question. And he was like, basically like Bill, they're, you know, all going to play a role and they will, you know,
but I want to play five snaps against Atlanta. Is that role five snaps?
Well, cause no one got hurt. Someone's going to get hurt at some point. Like
that's the thing we keep coming back to, and I'm not saying it's likely, but it could very well happen.
And while we're on it, did you also notice that Trent Brown put his socks on because they threatened to pull him out of the game for not wearing socks? Good for them.
But like, what's this thing against socks?
I have no idea, but good for them. It's like, wear something. And they're not that restrictive. Like, you see some guys wear the full leggings, one color leggings. Some guys wear a sleeve. Some guys wear just wear something. Like, I know you're a big man, but you're not bigger than the rest of the league. Like, wear socks. But I did think that was funny.
Do you think they stick with the same line on when was the odd man out, at least for this week?
Yeah, kind of.
You have to. Like, they've been so successful. Why change it?
Why change it? And like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Wait for somebody to get hurt or wait for Karras to get. That's the one thing that I think they could have as a quick hook. Like, if Karras has two bad series and Mac gets sacked, there's a couple like run stuffs, it's all over Karras. I think Karras will be pulled pretty quickly.
So, do you think on Wenu, like in practice, is splitting his reps between guard and right tackle?
Yes, I do. I think he's doing both. I asked Brasillo about that, like hindering his development. He's like, I don't know anything about hindering development. We ask a lot of guys. He was a little
defensive,
a little edgy yesterday. Nice man, but a little defensive, I thought. Yeah, something about that. And I definitely got the impression that, because they feel like they make everybody, you know, cross train, quote unquote, at different positions. But yes, I would guess he's ready to go.
Well, even Trent Brown, I asked him 2 weeks ago, he said he's taking a little bit of snaps to left tackle to stay sharp. So I guess it's kind of there.
Oh, that's actually the answer where Brasillo said, you know, you're always going to be ready for those. I was in a staff meeting once and they asked me who my fourth center would be. And I was like, Jesus, fourth center. why do I need four?
Right. Right.
If we lose three, we're effed.
Right. If we lose three, we're probably going to have a team to play. So,
right. Like my fourth center is probably the nose tackle or something, some right. defensive player.
Right. Right. But, all right. Anything else before we wrap this up?
No, I mean, I guess we could touch quick on the Manning cast last night with Julian Edelman saying Tom did try to, I guess, recruit him to Tampa.
Whenever he talks, Edelman, I just think it's like exaggerated.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a little bit of a tale teller, a showman.
I don't think Tom Brady was like, come on, Edelman, you Jules, you really got to come down here. Like, let's make right. it work. Like, it could have been a joke thing, and he tells it on the air, and now everybody thinks it's like a legitimate thing.
Now the Patriots should file a tampering charge.
And well, that's the other thing I was thinking. He was under contract with the Patriots. How would that work?
The Patriots should file a tampering charge against Tom Brady and the Bucks. Yeah. See if he can steal a mid-round pick out of this little fiasco. Speaking of Brady, I guess no one agrees with me. Did you watch last night at all?
Second half.
The first half, he had a scramble. Was arguably one of the nicest scrambles of his career. He did like a little like, I don't know, there was a guy diving at his legs and he kind of jumped with his feet and then kept running and slid. But when he slid, he led with a cleat that was shin high right into the safety shin. Like, I think 100% he did it on purpose. I think he 100% tried to kick the guy, like cleat the guy. And I don't think he can help it. I think it'd be one of those things. If you asked him about it, he's like, no, I didn't do that. And then showed him the film and he'd be like, oh, you mean that? Like, I think he's a psycho. I think he turns into a psycho in the middle of plays, where he almost loses the ability to recall or whatever. But I do think he cleated a guy in the shin on purpose.
Daniel Jones stinks. My guy, Jerry Sapolsky, has his work cut out for him to turn that guy around.
Well, they're already talking about what's his name could be out. Jason Garrett could.
Yeah, I mean, they got to change something there.
Yes.
I don't want to make this a Giants podcast, but I think Joe Judge, you can't fire him. He didn't get a fair chance. Like, he didn't get to pick his quarterback. Like, I think you need to give him another run at with a different quarterback before you let him go. But I would blow up everything else. Gettleman, Garrett.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, Gettleman, other than the controversial pick of Saquon Barkley at two, when it was like, can you take a running back? Like, Saquon Barkley's good. I still think if you put him with the right overall combo, you'd have a MVP caliber running back. You'd have a guy that would be the centerpiece of your offense, that whether it's McCaffrey or Derrick Henry, like those types of people that you'd be, but the rest of it just doesn't work. Like, there was a point late in the game. I mean, late in the first half, the Mannings were mocking the Giants for not.
Besides Eli was trying to cheer for them.
No, but the Giants had the ball backed up with like, I don't know, 40 seconds to go in the second quarter. And Manning was like, yeah, you see what you do here is you throw a little swing pass. It looks like you're still trying, but really you just want to run the clock out and get the hell out of here. I think they were down 17-10. You know, get the hell out of here. You're getting the ball to start the second half. You feel good. Then they ran a play and called timeout. And he's like, well, I don't know what you're doing here. I thought you were trying to run the clock out. Like, they started mocking it, kind of like not knowing what they really were trying to do. And then they threw – The half ended with a pass that turned into a fumble that turned into a lateral. Like, it got stupid. They almost gave the Bucks a chance in a way. And I agree. I think the Giants are a debacle. Now, the difference is I'd get rid of Judge. I just don't think he's the coach. I
don't think he is either, but I just think I who knows? People have been fired after 2 years in the NFL before, so it could happen again easily.
I can tell you what I'd be doing if I were another team. I'd be sniffing around Saquon Barkley. If they're going to blow it up, I'd like to be the landing spot for Saquon Barkley, because I think he is a phenomenal talent. And I think you put him on a good team with a quarterback, a receiver combo.
He can manage his reps and not be the sole guy.
Right. And I don't know what his contract situation is, but if you can get him on a like sort of salaried contract, big salaries, I'm fine paying, but not like huge bonus money.
Right.
I'd like me some Saquon Barkley.
All right. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, everyone. We'll be back after the game on Sunday, so probably a Monday morning podcast. Could be talking about the Patriots coming back to Earth, or you could be riding a 6-game win streak and you're in first place.
not only first place, you could be the number one seed in the AFC on a 6-game win streak. You could be looking down the barrel of a bye in the post. Forget the path, the fictitious path of a year ago. You could be the freaking team in the driver's seat. We'll see.
All right.
Not according to Hannibal, though.
Nope.
Or hater Hannibal. Homer Hannibal has become hater Hannibal.
I like it. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Peace out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.